Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, text 34. Yasmin Mahadguna Rajan Kriyante Kavibir Muhu Pite Duna Pitiyante Yita Bhagavati Shvare Yasmin, in whom Mahat Gunan, exalted transcendental qualities, Rajan, O King, Griyante, are glorified, Kavibi, by persons who are thoughtful and advanced in knowledge, Muhu, always, Na, not, Te, these, Aduna, today, Pidiyante, are obscured, Yata, just as, Bhagavati, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvare, the Supreme Controller. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also exist forever in His devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Purport. From authoritative scriptures, it is learned that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka, as well as within this material world on the planet Sutala. This transcendental quality of existing simultaneously in different places is another qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Goloka eva nivisat yakilat mabutaha. The Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart. Yet He exists on His own planet, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of the Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also exist forever in His devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. One simple point here is that we have no idea what pure devotional service means. Or maybe I could say I don't have any idea. Maybe someone here knows. In any case, one of the things is that one can exist in simultaneously many places at the same time. Considering that even we're here in one place, we can't figure out what's going on. What to speak of existing in many places? Right now, if we existed in many places, they'd have to take us to a mental hospital. We'd become so confused. But a pure devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, could exist simultaneously in many places and be in perfect consciousness in each one of them. How that's possible, we can't find out until we actually come to that standard. Otherwise, it's inconceivable. But there, for instance, we have our Murti of Srila Prabhupada here, and if we think it's a Murti, then we'll also probably think that the Panchatattva are just statues. Because how can they, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, be performing pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan in his Nitya Leela, and why would he at all come to Ljubljana? What would he do here? Maybe the prasadam is pretty good, but I think Sachi Mata probably cooks better prasadam. He certainly didn't come here for the weather.
Why would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually personally come here?
And not only him, but we find, okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's God, he can do it. But what about Lord Nityananda? Okay, he's an expansion, so we'll give him some credit. He's the super soul in everyone's heart anyhow, so in his time off, he can come to Ljubljana and stand there for a while. And what about Advaitacharya? Well, he's the creator of the universe, so many universes. So we have to give him some credit, too. And Gadadhar Pandit, well, he's a internal energy of Krishna. But Srivas, how is he doing it? He's Narada Muni. He's floating around as a spaceman. How did he come to Ljubljana? Therefore, we have to understand that there are persons who are somewhat like ourselves in the sense that they're jiva souls, but in association with Krishna, their abilities are expanded unlimitedly, whatever Krishna wants. How it's done only by the inconceivable energy of Krishna. That someone who's right now 1/10,000th the size of Tipuhir in size can expand themselves into only Krishna knows how many different situations. So this is called the Chintya Shakti. Without accepting this, and we don't accept that Krishna exists either. If Krishna can empower someone to do that, then how could he be God? In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there are many such incidences. When Gop Kumara finally makes it almost to Vaikuntha, then he's waiting outside, because you just don't walk into Vaikuntha. The door is not open. That's why Jai and Vijay got into trouble, because you got to go through 7 different gates, and there's very powerful persons there, and they're guarding the gates. You can't sneak in. Can't go look up in the sky. Kind of run around them. No, they're quite qualified gatekeepers. But still, when Gop Kumara, he finally got to the last gate, they asked him, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" So I'm Gop Kumara. I just kind of came to see Lord Narayan. Okay, wait a second. We'll go and ask Narayan if he wants to see you. So Gop Kumara was just waiting at the gate. Nice gate, so it's not that he was bored and fell asleep. No, it's inconceivably, even the gates going to Vaikuntha are inconceivably beautiful and opulent. And there he saw a four-handed man going into Vaikuntha. He said, "Oh, that must be Narayan. He's so beautiful and opulent." So he immediately paid his obeisances and said, "Oh, Narayan, oh." And then the devotee clasped his hands around his ears and said, "I'm not Narayan. I'm simply the servant of the servant of Narayan." And he entered. And Gop Kumara was just waiting there, and he saw someone else looked even more opulent, 100 times more opulent. And he was surrounded by so many expansions, and everyone was glorifying him. "Oh, this must definitely be Narayan." He paid obeisance and says, "Oh, Narayan." And the devotee put his hands over his ears. "I'm not Narayan. I'm the servant of the servant of Narayan." And all these expansions and all his family members enter into the body of this Narayan, and then they enter into Vaikuntha. So this went on for some time. I don't know how much time. Probably maybe a few lifetimes of Brahma or something. He was just on the outside of Vaikuntha waiting to get in. And finally he came and said, "Okay, you can get in. You have a pass." So Gop Kumara entered into Vaikuntha. So the point is that each one of these personalities, Gop Kumara, Sora, they had all the mystic powers. And they were unlimitedly opulent. And still, they were simply servants of Lord Narayan. And none of them thought they were Narayan. Although they all looked like Narayan, they apparently had the qualities of Narayan. They had the power of Narayan. Of course, I don't know what you're going to do in Vaikuntha with all mystic powers. It's obviously, everyone has so many powers there. I mean, even if you have all mystic powers, what would you do with them? I guess if you wanted to float around the air for a while. But they don't have to float because they have Vaikuntha airplanes. Anyhow, I don't know what's going on there. We can only know what's going according to what it says in these authorized literatures. But there they have airplanes. But they don't crash. And you don't need a medical card to get on one. There's no screening. You don't have to go through any kind of security check. And they don't run out of gas. They float around Vaikuntha, I guess, and men have girlfriends there or wives. But although they're unlimitedly beautiful, the wives and the men there have the same beauty as Narayan. Still, they're more attached to Narayan than they are to each other. So how, what that's like is inconceivable. And then, of course, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's a description that in Vaikuntha, there are so many different devotees, and they look like they're those who they're devoted to. Some of them look like Korma. That would be quite interesting to see, devotees who look like Korma. And Matsya, there's devotees of Matsya, they take the same form as Matsya. Even Brahman Indra. Because sometimes Indra is a pure devotee, is an incarnation. Sometimes Brahma is an incarnation. So they have those forms. So what it's like, well, when you get there, let me know. Let me send you an email address. And all we can do is try to understand. And the nice thing is that if we perform devotional service, even in this lifetime, even if we don't understand completely, but gradually we'll understand that, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, they're all much more conscious and alive than we could possibly imagine. Srila Prabhupada is also conscious and alive, much more than we can imagine. They're just waiting for us to become conscious and alive. And then we can understand these things. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, as it says here, he's in Vaikuntha eternally with all the qualities, all the good qualities of a devotee, and he's also in Sutala. Perhaps not only in this universe, but maybe in many universes. Because Krishna's pastime is a Nitya Lila, and therefore, he not only comes, interesting enough, and every millennium, apparently, he comes and kills Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Because in this era, in this epoca, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were actually gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. But in other epochas, in other millenniums, they're actually demons. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're only told as much as we have to know so we can understand the principles. It's not a storybook so that we can tell it to our children so they can go to sleep. No, it's actually meant to simply give us principles so we can apply them in pure devotional service and go back to the spiritual world where we can actually understand things as they really are. But one thing is that we have to have a little faith that we actually don't know anything. We may not have faith in anything, you know, in all these different descriptions, but at least we should have some faith that we're in ignorance, recovering by ignorance. And therefore, what do we know about what's really going on? And if we don't accept that, then just think about Krishna's first instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, how much we've actually understood it. how much we've actually understood that I'm eternal soul. So if I don't even know who I am, how can I know what's actually taking place, even in this world, what to speak of in the spiritual world? That little bit of humility, well, at least we can't reject everything that's being said. We don't have to blindly accept or blindly reject, but we should try to get the principles so that we can gradually realize. If we accumulate all knowledge and we don't realize the subject matter, then it's called Shrama Evi Kevalam. Already we think we know so many things and we don't know anything of any. We haven't absolutely realized anything. And therefore, we should try to get the principles, apply them in our lives, and gradually we'll begin, first of all, the things that we don't know, that we're imagining right now, will gradually go away. And there may be some positive realizations in the course of time also. Gradually we'll understand how things really are. Just like, Gyanena tutad agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavaj gyanam prakashiti tatvaram. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So we don't have to know so many things. We just have to know how to love Krishna. If we know how to love Krishna, then everything else will be revealed, like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. And if we try to find out everything, and we don't know Krishna, then we'll never find out anything, including who we are. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Kuala. Prashniya. Prashana. Prashna plus Varshana. Prashvarshana. Question about Varshana. I'll repeat. Try now.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Ah, okay.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Prahlad Maharaj is present in Sutala, which sounds like a strange place for Prahlad Maharaj to be. That, does it mean, because we know it, he's in Harivarsha in Jambudvip, one form of Prahlad Maharaj is there. So is Sutala, when he's visiting his grandson, Bali Maharaj?
I think he bought a house there. I saw one of his cards that he had that address on. No, we find when Bali Maharaj was captured by Vamanadeva, then Prahlad Maharaj showed up. And so I guess he must have went with his, I guess his grandson. It was his grandson or his great-grandson? Bali Maharaj was the son of who? Of, what is that?
Virochana.
Virochana. And Virochana was the son of?
Prahlad Maharaj. Son is Virochana, and Virochana's son is Bali, I think.
Something like that. So I think he's his grandson. But he obviously, he apparently went with Bali Maharaj to Sutala. Yeah. I don't have any direct experience, but apparently that's what it says there.
It's interesting that he managed to make his grandson into a great devotee, but his son is famous in the Upanishads, but not as a devotee. There's this famous story, Taittiriya, about Virochana and Indra, how Virochana was satisfied with superficial answers. So it seems that Prahlad Maharaj was more able to convert his grandson, but not so much the son.
Yeah, sons are usually rebellious. It's the grandsons that get most of the affection. Anything else?
It seems like a very convenient mystic power to be present in several places.
I don't know. I've never had the experience. Right now we get really bewildered. Imagine if you overeat in one place, you know. You feel sick in all of them. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you have a lot of things to do, you probably get a lot of things done. But who knows? Who can understand?
Yesterday I was talking to my friend, and he expressed his doubt about Vaikuntha, thinking that it's a boring place as compared to Goloka Vrindavan. I tried to convince him that they have a different state of consciousness there.
Good luck. How can we understand? Unless we're in ecstatic love for Krishna, we're on the spiritual platform where everything is fresh every moment and unlimitedly pleasurable. Then what can we know? Even here, if we were in Krishna conscious, everything would be pleasurable. But to speak of Vaikuntha, everything would have taste and give us unlimited pleasure, and it would be unlimited loving experience and feelings. So what to speak of Vaikuntha? What the variety is there? Vaikuntha is not explained so much in Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's not really the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th canto is Krishna's pastimes. And besides that, what can be understood even if it was explained? It can only be understood by in the process of pure devotional service, because it's existing in a completely different level of experience. Yes.
In our society, we are primarily glorifying the gopis in Vrindavan and the gopas as the role models to follow. Although Bhaktisiddhanta Ji does, in his Upadeshamrita commentaries, does speak about all five rasas. But, and it's very rare to read about some instruction in Shantarasa, but like theoretically, would there be some Raghunuga training, how to be a cow, how to be a butterfly, how to be a jewel ring on Radharani's toe, from one's Raganuga Guru, Ragadmika Guru?
Well, I remember one time I went, one of the first times I went to Mayapur, I met a devotee. He left ISKCON, he went to Radhakund and got trained up. And I knew him, so I went to visit him. He was living in a cottage around a kilometer from Mayapur at that time. I went to see him, and he was living in the cottage with his wife, and he was going, coo, coo, coo. So he said, what are you doing? He said, well, I got my Siddha Swarup from my Raghunuga Guru. And he told me I was a peacock. This is my sadhana. Coo, goo, meow, meow, meow. So he's doing that. So I guess there are. I don't know if he went back to Vaikuntha or generally it speaks about getting trained by the Raghunuga devotees, but when they come, but I don't know, it doesn't say peacocks coming. But we do, there is some description that how the peacocks were dancing with Krishna in the Govindali Lamrita and things like that. So I guess there are devotees who come. But then of course in Goloka Vrindavan, Shantarasa gets mixed up with the other rasas too. But there is Shantarasa, because when there's during the rasa dance, the trees don't start dancing with Krishna either. So there has to be some kind of, they're completely conscious, but they act as if they're unconscious. Otherwise it would spoil everything. But we can't think that they're just ordinary trees. They're also experiencing the ecstasy of the rasa dance. They're fully conscious. They also have the desire tree, so they supply all the fruits and the flowers and everything else for these things, whatever is needed for the service. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.